But yeah, there's another highlight in that passage in Peter. And that is the simple word there. He once suffered. Mm-hmm. He has once, not many suffered, many times. Mm-hmm. But by one offering, he has perfected forever the sanctified. And so they were used to having many sacrifices, but they could never put away sin, as Hebrews it tells us. But he by one sacrifice.
Amen.
And therefore, he once suffered. He will never have to suffer again.
Amen.
By one suffering, by one act, there on the cross, all was accomplished forever to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Somebody.
No, I just want to read Isaiah 59, verse 15 and 16. I believe it sums up what God said about, his, what he pleased to bruise him. Or verse 15, and it says, and the second part of it, and Jehovah saw it, and it was evil in his sight that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and he wondered that there was no intercessor. And his arm brought him salvation, and his righteousness, it sustained him. I believe that the devil, as in Job, he goes and he will say, how you can take this person, how you justify them. Based on what? You are righteous God, you have your own demands, your own order of things that you have ordered, but look at man. How are you going to justify him? The animals and blood, that's not sufficient. How are you going to do it? So I believe when God saw the Lord Jesus, that he, the one that he opened heaven for him, heavens for him, three times, and this is the same person who went to the cross, the perfect sacrifice where the righteousness of God comes down and the judgment comes up. On the cross, they all met together where a person could combine all of them. God is set aside and he is satisfied and he will be, saw him as the perfect one. That who only one can be pleased him to all his anger and all his wrath about sin and how he would judge sin, judge me there, he put it on him. Then he can justify me. And when the devil goes up, that, you know what? He paid for it. Mm-hmm. He paid for the blood of... Yes, Miladies is a horrible person, but you know what? He paid for it.
Amen.
And that's why he pleased, because he saw the man that he could... He looked for, he couldn't find, but when he came, he felt the man that he can do it.
Connected with verse 10, I suppose we should go back to verse 9. He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Here was one who honored God in his actions and his words. But then it says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Though he manifested all that God desired in man and from man, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. One thinks of the expression, his delights were with the sons of men. And God, in making man his masterpiece in the old creation, he desired that this person represent him here fully. Did not get it from Adam, nor from any of his descendants. But there was a man in God's counsel that did no violence, no deceit in his mouth. If you think of Adam, he said, what was the deceit? The woman you gave me. That was dishonest in the way he spoke to God about what had happened. But there was no deceit in his mouth. There was no violence in his hands. And this one pleased God completely. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Put him to grief. In a way that neither Adam nor any of his descendants have ever seen grief.
So then when it says he was bruised for our iniquities in verse 5, and in verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, this can't be talking about what the Romans did to him.
Not at all. Not at all.
There's no way.
The Lord.
Right.
The Lord.
No way God saw a Roman lift up that scourge, bring it down on Christ's back and say, yes, I'm pleased with that. That is not accurate.
He will judge them for it.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's no pleasure in there. But it was the hand of God, a God who hates sin, a God who is holy. That is really what he did. He was my sin bearer at that moment.
In the hours of darkness.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Not the scourging, not the mocking, not the spitting, not the beating, not the thorns. None of those things could atone for our sins.
May I suggest that if we read chapter 52 and verse 14, we see what the Romans and the Jews and everybody else did with him. But when we read verse 10 of chapter 53, we say, what God did. This is what God did. The man of his choice. The one that he anointed and sent into this world. He did this to him. Because his delights were with the Son.
And you would say, if you want to use a prophetic word from the book of Lamentation, what God has done to me.
Yes.
In the day of his fierce anger. And that fierce anger was never on his Son. He was the delight of his heart. But it was of the sin itself that he was going to judge. You know what, brethren? God judged him the same way he would judge sin. Mm-hmm. And that's why I was thinking of something else, Brother Hadley, when you brought the suffering aspect. You know, we have the tendency to say, if somebody died, well, did he suffer? Did he go through a process of pain and agony? The Lord Jesus did not do it the quick, easy way and out. The thought of suffering that he had to go, it's like, if I can bring this word, he tasted death for everything. For everything. So it wasn't a quick thing and I'm gone, going to glory and come unto me. He had to go through this path of suffering, the process of answering to God for every single thing. For creation. For sin. Now just think of an individual's sins that trusted Christ. He has to answer to them. So he's competent to answer to all these things. But it wasn't something where he had to go and taste death for everything. It was a process of agony and suffering until God judged sin and fully satisfied.
May I add to that, that in the question of sin, it is how it affronted God's throne.
Exactly.
How it affronted his work in this universe. So everything in this universe has been touched by sin. Because the man in whose hands he had put his creation fouled up things. So God's creation has been touched by sin. And he has to, because he is holy, he has to show his hatred of sin. He is righteous. He refuses it. He doesn't want it around him. Who is going to answer to pay the price that was needed to remove the stain from God's face? The man that he anointed. The man that he chose. And when he comes to that point in the fullness of time, God pours out on him his judgment against sin. I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has brought me into darkness and not into light. This is where God met him on the question of sin.